thinking of the sermon title and what we would actually get into. And y'all know we're studying Hebrews, and we haven't even opened the Bible to the book of Hebrews, but a couple of times for reference. These are the Psalms that are laying the crush and run before the pavement gets paved. And the Psalms are speaking some 1,000 years before Jesus, and now 3,000 years to you and me today. We're reading an ancient text for sure. Amen? Amen? 3,000 years is old. I don't know if you know that. And it's way beyond us. Church meeting after church meeting. For thousands of years, we've taken this passage of Scripture. Maybe they've skipped over it. Maybe they read through it. But there's words that even, I think it's, I should look up the hymn number. Chris, I forgot to do that. The hymn number, someone look up majesty in the hymnal, the celebration hymnal. I think it's number 12 or 8. 8, 10, or 12, I'm guessing. Somebody just shout it out when you find it. This is a game. You get church winner of the year because it's a new month. 10, I missed it. I knew it was an even number somewhere. 10. Let's just read through the words. Obviously, this is a song. How many of you guys know this song? Page 10. Y'all know how to sing it? Who knows how to sing it? You know it? Let me turn the microphone off. Let's see if we can actually sing it. Whew. Psalm 8, let's go together. It's only 9 verses. We are in Hebrews. As we get going, we'll have a Hebrews reference this morning. Psalmist is telling us, and it's King David, and it tells us, and if you read some of your Bibles, if you have a Hebrew Bible, verse 1 is actually the preset in our Bible. So verse 2 is actually verse 3. We go on, we move down, we're one ahead. So the preface in your it says, to the chief musician on the instrument of Gath, Psalm of David, as the Hebrews give you that, as the Psalms give you that initial, the Hebrew Bible has that as verse 1. So verse 1 in the Hebrew Bible is verse 2 in our Bible, and so forth. So if you notice again, we've been talking about the names of God, the word capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Lord, and he says here, O Lord, our Lord. That's God, the highest name of God, and if you, I think, Derek mentioned them. There was a sheet going around. And if you didn't get the handout today, I would encourage you. It's not all the names of God, but it's a front and back sheet of the names of God. And see if you can actually find that name. And it's actually referenced there. We mispronounce it. We say Yahweh or Yahweh. We try to make any kind of way of saying it. It was such a holy name, the Jewish people would actually, the scribes would write it with a fresh pen and not write again. It was not to be mentioned. And when it was used with the Gentiles, we hear the name Jehovah or Adonai. You hear those names and look those up. It matters when you read the Psalms and saying, who are we talking about? When you look and see, wait a minute, David's saying, God, the highest name of God, you are our Lord, our leader. You're the ones that actually goes before us. And then he's going to go right into the scripture. Let me read it without preaching it. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. And you might want to write in the Hebrew there, that word strength is the word praise. I wrote it in my Bible just so I would have a memory of that. Strength there is reference to praise. Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. I've got tears in my eyes. I can't see. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. The word there, angels, is Elohim. We'll talk about that in just a moment. And you have crowned him with glory and with honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for being who you are and allowing us to be who we are, belonging to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Hey, if you have your bullet today, look in the back. I give you notes each week, not so much that you can actually record what I say, but that you can have a conversation around this, because you need to be messengers of God getting the word of God out. And if you don't know which way to go, this is just a simple direction of getting you in the right direction to go in a path if God leads you there. So I want to encourage you, if you don't have a bulletin, actually raise your hand. The guys will bring you one. And if you do, take notes and pass this on to someone. Every Sunday after church, I know where you sit. I know where most people are, unless you're a guest. Bulletins are stuffed in the back of the hymnal. Don't do that. At least take them to the trash can. Don't leave them for the cleaner to clean the church. I mean, if you don't want it, don't want it. Don't take it, right? But I want you to take it and actually make some application in your life. Even listen for God to speak to you. It might not be my voice. It might be something God's trying to speak to you in your situation that you can take with you this week. Write that down. Forget the notes. Just write what God says to you through His holy word. I want you to see this. The question of identity has been a focus for humanity since the beginning of time. Think about this. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were faced with the task of understanding their own identity, as well as recognizing the distinction between their existence and God's. From the very start, and that's after we were created on day six, God in His grace and glory has revealed, that's important, you'll never find it out yourself, it has been revealed who He is and has shown people their purpose and reason in creation. At the heart of God's revelation in His love is His love for humanity. You think about the character of God, I have to go all the way back to 1 John, it says God is love. And we think about God's love and say, well, that's wonderful. And many times today, preachers want to stay at God's love, which is extremely important. Every sermon should have, for God so loved the world in it. Isn't that true? That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. We've got to know how to beat a path to heaven if the Holy Spirit tickles our heart and says it's time to surrender. And He does that each time that you hear the Word of God. I want to encourage you, when we read the Word of God, if we truly believe what the Bible says about itself, every word in the Bible, the words that you have, is inspired by God. God moved holy men of God in the past to write His Word. So when you say, I just want to hear God speak, I wish God would speak to me out loud. What's this? Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Your name in all of the earth, who have set Your glory above the heavens. Is God speaking to you and me in that situation? King David's saying it, but what is he telling us? He's telling us, hey guys, everybody who reads this after me, I want to tell you I'm in my moment of praise, and if you get something out of it, good, because God's told me to write it down, but right here, right now, this is what I'm living. But we know God. God can use the same word for the here and now, for there and yonder. Amen? And even back there. What's he looking back? And David saying, you created everything. And so David takes us all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. He takes us back to the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then He moves us along the days. He even talks about the sun, moon, and star that was made on day four. You have set them in their place. The sun goes down. And David he's been a pretty good professional. He had his first minimum wage job. We talked about this morning in college and career and young adults. His first job was what? Taking care of sheep. Few sheep, as his brothers would say when he went to war. Remember when he went to war and his brother said, where are those few sheep that you take care of? Like, that's what older brothers are supposed to tell younger brothers, is it not? To aggravate them. What are you doing here? You just come to see the battle. You know you just come to see some war. Well, David had that minimum wage job. And listen, oftentimes, have you guys ever been there? The worst job on your life, you're like, I hate this job. And if you're there today, I'm sorry. But I hate this job. And then when you get older, what do? You look back and go, wow, I really love those jobs. Those are great days. You ever done that? We look back. You hear military guys talk about how awesome the military was? When we were in, we hated it. Like, we're short time. We couldn't wait to be a short timer for it to be over. But now when you get away, anchors, that's my service. We do it. We're all guilty of it, no matter what we've ever done in the past or relationships we've had or finances or that old car. Y'all remember the old car? Boy, I wish I had that old car I had back in high school right now. No, you don't, because I would drive it to school and push it home. Now, Mom told me I can't say any more stories about her, but she's part of the reason. We used to say my mom was a white witch. Now, let me clarify for you. I was not a Christian kid. I'd been baptized, but I wasn't a Christian. Mom could say, I hope that your car, and she'd fill in the blank, and whatever she said come out of her mouth. We didn't realize it was the power of God. God just spoke through her. She tore our motorcycles up. She tore my car up. I mean, it went from me to Steve to another guy who works on cars. Everybody fixed it. and no one could keep it running. I ended up at Aiken Technical School, and I think they must have crushed it or something. I don't know what they did with it. When she says, "I hope," it was done. Because she wanted to take her Sunday afternoon naps. We would crank up the cars and take the headers, open headers, and different things. And anyway, just think about those things. You think about those old cars. Oh, well, I'd like to have that classic now. No, you wouldn't. It didn't have air conditioning. You had to roll the windows down. It was full of rust. Whatever it might have been, you look back and say, I wish I had it again. But you remember the trouble it caused you? If you sit and really think about it. Well, the psalmist is here looking back. He's not looking at the troubled times. He's going back to the good times. He's going back to creation. When God created man, God had made, how many of you guys have ever had kids with fish tanks? Kids, you ever had a fish tank? They ever had the kids have a fish tank? What's the first thing that you buy for the fish tank? Come on, throw it up to me if you ever had one. What's the first thing you buy? The pump? No, you don't buy the fish first. You can't. If you get the fish, they're dead. You got the tank, pump, filter. Those pretty little pink, ugly-looking rocks, those make it look like it's an underwater adventure, right? You set everything up, and then you want to go get the what? Fish. I'm back to you. I'm looking at you. Fish, you're right. You don't put the fish in until the tank's prepared. So in the beginning, the psalmist is looking back saying, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he goes through day by day and gives us a systematic idea of what God made. On the last day, day six, God created man in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. The Lord says, let us make man in our image. In the image of God, he made male and female. We were the chief. We were the fish, if you will, even though he made fish on day five. We were the ones that he created all this for. We were image bearers of God. And then we'll look in the notes. I want you to see this. This is what David's looking back to and saying, listen, I want you to know who you are and whose you are. Because oftentimes today, especially today, Christians don't have their identity in society. Somebody says, what's your name? And usually what follows after, what's your name? Especially if you're a man, what do you do? We want to know what you do for a living. We want to know who you are. And are you retired or what do you do for a living? That's how we are. We just communicate through name is, work is, right? We don't respond. You have a job and your job is important. But also, listen, I want you to understand, your job, your calling is to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, like King David. When you have opportunity to give a conversation about the Lord, listen, that's your first priority. Look at the second note here. The psalmist King David declared to people of all generations that the righteous person's priority and purpose in life is this: we exist to bring glory to God. Wow, that should have been an amen right there. Problem is, we're not doing it. We're talking like the culture's talking. We're doing what the culture is doing. We do enough on Sunday morning to make everybody think that we're good with God. But I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, listen, God's not good with you if you're out there sinning and running the roads like the world. We exist to bring glory to God. So the question is, have you brought glory to God this past week? Did you honor God with your living this past week? In your conduct, in your speech, in your actions, did you honor the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, well, you don't understand my situation. My family background, didn't ask you about any of that. Because listen, you look at the Lord's background. They made fun of who he was. Even the Pharisees said, we know who your daddy is. And they were saying that your mama cheated on your daddy. That's how you got here. That's what they were saying. They were blaspheming God. But yet they did it. So I'm not asking about your background. I'm not asking about your financial situation. I'm asking about your personal life. Have you existed this past week to bring glory to God? And if you say, yeah, except, right? God doesn't want any exceptions in your life. You say, well, what am I supposed to be? Holy like God? As a matter of fact, what does Peter tell us? Be holy as I am holy, says the Lord. Can you be a holy representative of God out there in the world? Not only can you, but you must be if you belong to him. You're an ambassador of reconciliation for Christ. You're the one to bring people together to Jesus Christ. You represent in a fallen world. They don't have to act like Christ. They don't know Christ, so therefore, they're supposed to be doing the things that the world's do, that the world does, that the culture does, whatever culture you're from. So what you do is when God puts somebody on your heart, you speak into that culture, you step into that culture, and you speak life into that situation. And listen, when Jesus makes somebody free, he makes them free indeed. Amen? Let's continue. What's this? I want you to see this. David identified the Lord, highest God, highest name for God, our Lord, as exalted above all of creation. He's not in creation. He's not limited by the laws of nature, because guess who the laws of nature were formed by? Him. Jesus Christ specifically. John 1 tells us everything was made by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the agent, if you will. He's the hands of creation. And we'll get into that hopefully at a little later date. Even today, the fame of his majesty stretches above heavens and fills the earth. Is that true? Four of you know that. Let's go to Psalm 19. Come on, that's why we have church, right? Go to, make your Bibles turn, or your Bible app, open it up. Mark your Bible. Psalm 19. Because I knew I was going to get about it. Amen, amen. Hey, listen, it should be amen with a hearty amen. Praise the Lord, because when you say amen, you say yes, yes, that is true. Amen? All right, look at Psalm 19 when it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his, what? Handiwork. Hey, let me stop right there for a second. I'm not going to read it, but I want you to take notes. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, he calls something else his personal handiwork. You know what it is? You. You're the chief of God's creation. You didn't evolve from pond scum. There's no missing monkey man out there anywhere in the world, even though the world continues to put that out. He doesn't exist. Who was the first man ever to be designed? Adam. He was created out of dirt. And I said, that's why boys like to play in the dirt, right? Because we're going back home, all right? Girls are created out of what? Bone. I don't know what that implies. But anyway, we keep moving because I'm a boy. We go back to creation. When God created us at the end of creation, he sees creation. It is good. It is good. It is good. When he makes man and woman, he says, it is very good. And he closes the book, and the Bible says he rests on the seventh day. Not because God was tired, because he can't get tired. God modeled for you and me how to live life. And what are we doing today? We're saying you're made in a monkey's image. You the pond scum come out. Some come out to be a tree, and some come out to be me. That's what they're teaching kids, right? You can be anything you want to be. Boys can be girls. Girls can be boys. That's a false. That's a lie. God made man. He made woman. There's no way, even with surgeries or chemicals, what else? You can't change. You are who God made you to be. There are those deformities. I understand that. And somebody wants to bring those up. We'll have those discussions. That's another day, another discussion for another day. We go back to the beginning. The very first man was perfect, made in the image of God. The very first woman was perfect, made in the image of God. He created male and female. Where do the cavemen come into play? Kids asked me that long ago, were there cavemen? The answer is yes. There's people out in the Midwest right now in America that's spending lots of money on caves. Did you know that? If a man lives in a cave, guess what that makes him? A caveman. All right? There were no, ooh, beat my wife, drag the club like we see in the cartoons, drag the wife by the hair. Those people didn't exist. The very first man was perfect. The very first woman was perfect in the image of God. And from there, we have gone downhill. We rolled way downhill since then. We're getting to the stage of, ooh, are we not? Have you not seen pictures? Look what men are doing to themselves today in the name of choice. Look what women are doing to themselves today in the name of freedom and choice, because this is the way I was built, the way I was designed, the way I was born. And by the way, if somebody says, I was born as an alternative lifestyle, just agree with them. Because the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We just happen to like to choose sin, say that sin's worse than that sin. But God says sin will send you straight to hell. Until you give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, sin will send you down. So creation is his handiwork, but the chief portion of his handiwork, the very best craftsmanship that God could possibly do, was Adam and Eve, you and me. Let's continue in Psalm 19 really quick. Let me run through a couple of these. Day and today utters speech, and night and tonight reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising in from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is the clean, enduring. How long? forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And you continue to read on your own, but I want you to see that the psalmist is saying over and over again, how great is our God, how majestic is our God, and his creation is that as well. Well, I want you to see this. God ordained and still ordains praise, especially from little children who worship him without shame. He said, where is that in Scripture? I'll show you. After cleansing the temple, Jesus quoted this truth from Psalm 8. The praise of children, even infants still being weaned, has the power to silence and shame the enemies of God. He delights in using what is weak, believing humans, that's us, who trust and obey him to confound the strong. You talk to an extremely wealthy man, what does he need from anybody in the world? What does he need from God? What's the answer? Our wealthy woman. Not much. I'm talking about in the physical today. When you try to talk to someone that has extreme wealth about the Lord Jesus Christ, their car breaks down, guess what they do? They get another car, right? And it's the same thing with someone that's extremely educated. If you're not careful, they know better. There's no way it can be that simple that they have educated themselves out of reality. There's no way that God could come and in the virgin birth, how foolish is that? And be born perfectly, how foolish is that? And to live a holy life, how foolish is that? And then die on a cross for sins, that doesn't make any sense. How foolish is that? Have you read Psalm 14 lately? Go over to Psalm 14 with me really quick. It's not in your notes, but go to Psalm 14. Just so people don't think that I've set this up, but someone actually stand up and read verse 1. You don't need a microphone. Just stand up and read verse 1. Psalm 14, 1. All right. So why are the people the strong, as the Bible talks about, why are they the ones that actually stand up against God? It's because they're foolish. And they're full of sin. Listen, when you come to the place of actually loving your sin more than you love the Savior, he's going to let you pay the ultimate price for yourself. If you want to pay the price ticket here on earth, you'll pay it hereafter. And that's what hell is for. Those who refuse to accept Jesus Christ, who paid the ultimate price for our sins, and said, I'll pay for it myself. And the answer is, yes, you will. Let's continue. And by the way, if you look that up in Matthew 21:16, when Jesus tells the Pharisees, he's tearing up the temple, flipping it. My Father's house should be called a house of prayer. He's flipping the temple. And they're like, Lord, tell these children to stop blaspheming God. Do you hear what they're saying? And guess what he says? Yes, I do, because who is he? Jesus is God. He understands what's happening. He quotes Psalm 8 back to the Pharisees, the religious men who should have known better, who were overeducated, who were overpaid, and they knew better, but they didn't want to change because they loved their sins, because they followed the traditions of the fathers. They didn't follow the law of God. Even though they invoked the law of God often, they never once followed the law of God. They broke it on a daily basis in the name of God. They said, we represent God. You said, you do what we say, but they learned the traditions for men. Even some of the rabbis said that he's given us dominion here on earth. Therefore, whatever I say as rabbi, God can't even change it because I have authority here on earth. That is the tradition of men. Remember, this is a Jewish tradition that comes out. Some Jewish people still believe that today. You got all different sects of Judaism. They don't follow the first five books of the Bible. They'll reference back to them, but they have traditions of men that they follow today. How about Christianity? Somebody asked me, he said, was the church one when it first started? Was it united as one? Yes or no? It was united as one. What happened? Sin and tradition kicked in. And then we end up with this split, this split, this split, this split. And then we end up with all of the different denominations today. And everybody says, who's right? The one who is preaching the word of God and who is following the word of God as best they understand. Not taking liberty with the word of God, saying, yeah, that's for a time. That was a season. Now we're into the New Testament, and we can have grace, 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 and live any way we want to live. God still paints those white lines on the football field, just so you know. He still has out of bounds all the way down life. He has your goal from birth to death. He has a plan for your life. Play the game the way God has intended the game to be played. When you step out of bounds, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, he's not going to come back and say, oh, you're good, you're good. He's going to put his foot on the, just like the referee does, he's going to put his foot on that line. When you step out on the 45, he's going to blow the whistle and say, you have exactly a few seconds to get it right on the 45. You say, but God, I'm redeemed, Lord. I'm sorry for what I did. He says, make it right. And you got a time limit to make it right. And then he's going to back you up 5 yards, delay of game. Whistle's going to blow, and you got time to get it right. And but God, you're going to cry and complain. He's going to blow the whistle and move you back again. God is not playing games with us today, church. God is serious about us living a holy life for him. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. Let me tell you, so many churches and so many people are in the penalty box. They're going backwards with God. They're mad at God. Have you ever heard somebody say, I'm mad at God? Watch this. Have you ever been mad at God? Raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand. Be truthful. I'm mad at you, God. Is he big enough to take that? Guess who gave you life? He did. Guess who gave you the emotions of being angry? He did. Guess who gave you the target to fuss at him? He did. Guess what? He loves you and he understands you. He made you the way you're made today. Now your sin choices are now sending you far from God. Can a Christian get into a backslidden situation and be away from God in fellowship? Yes. I want to tell you, a Christian can never lose relationship, but they can back off into fellowship. They can lose that fellowship. Relationship's always there. I've told my kids, you can paint yourself purple and pink and move to the other side of the world and say, I don't know him. I don't know him. But we do a DNA test, guess what's going to happen? Womp, womp, womp. You're going to show up. Clint L. Smith and Wendy Marie Wakefield is going to pop up in your lineage. You belong to us, property of us. Just kidding. That's what we used to tell our kids. We had y'all so you could work around the house. That's what we told them. Let's continue. In praise and acknowledgement of God, our Creator, David revealed dignity that God has bestowed upon humanity. Do you feel that today? God has bestowed dignity upon you. Have we lost that in our society today? Humans are just something to be used, or people to be used, or dirty, or wretched, or whatever it might be. And if we're not careful, we the Christians, we'll do the same thing. We'll walk away around people. We'll be like the Levite and the priest when the man was beaten half to death. Their job was to minister to people in the name of God. And on that day, when Jesus talked about the good neighbor, they saw the man, he's bleeding, he's in bad shape. They walk around him, and as we talked about it, somebody said that they hadn't clocked in yet. That's why they weren't actually serving God. They're not on the clock yet. And God forbid if you and I have a clock when we are on with God and we're off with God. We separate the secular from the spiritual. And listen, there is no separation between the two. When you give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. God is with you, you with God. When you wake up, good morning, God, it's good to see you. Thank you for life. What's my job for today? I'm your workmanship, created in your image to do your work. What is the task for today? Can I tell you, the task is never going to be easy. Because if you could do it, it's probably not assigned by God. God gives us these impossible tasks, and we say to God, I can't do it. And he goes, you're exactly right. I'll help you. Turn to me, and I'll walk you through it. Well, we were created in his image, not to rule over him, as some traditions say, but to exercise dominion over his vast and wondrous creation. From the beginning, God appointed humans to be his representatives on the earth. There are no humans on Mars yet. There are no aliens, contrary to what Fox News is reporting. This is the place that God created. This is the place that he created man and woman. This is the place that he came to die for us. This is the place, actually, listen, there's going to be a new heaven and earth. If you're looking for a new place where people are going to live, it's going to be on the new earth. If you want a new planet, you're going to get one soon if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, it won't matter. All right, let's keep going. Granting us authority to rule over every creature in his name. How many of you guys, I love to go out with guys. I'm not a fisherman or a hunter. I like to drag race cars. Used to back in the day, I like to go mud. I'm simple. How many of you guys actually go fishing, deep sea fishing? You look like you can angle them, but deep. You're having dominion over creation. You can pull almost any animal, even the great whales, harpooners that are good, used to drag them out, right? Whale oil is what they would use back in the day. Name it in the ocean. Man can get it out of the ocean. We put killer whales in Orlando, Florida, and trained them, have we not? Tigers from the jungle. Pick an animal. roosters, snakes. You go think about the things. Man can actually control any animal that's out there. Job's day, they had Leviathan. No one could mess with that bad boy until God said so. But now that was probably a dinosaur, a large one. Not 100% sure, but it was big and it was bad. But today, I watch people that bring those big moose heads. I've never seen a moose up front. And everybody's telling me, Martin was sharing with me how tall they were. And I'm like, that would blow my mind to see one up close. It's under the dominion. Well, listen, we have responsibilities, do we not? And what have we done with our responsibilities? Yes, Adam sinned and turned, if you will, the keys over to the devil, if you will. Because now the devil, he's the king and prince of this era. He's the prince of the air. This is where the devil lives. Some of y'all were shocked a couple weeks ago when I said the devil's never been to hell. Did y'all know that? He don't want to go there. The demons don't want to go there. There's a few locked in hell right now. We'll see that in Revelation when we preach to that. They don't want to go. That's why they want to mess you up, turn you away from God so that you'll go with them. Because they know you were created in the image of God. Let's finish so we finish today and do the Lord's Supper. Although humanity, and that's, by the way, that's our Hebrews chapter. You need to read that. I'm missing the most important part, but for the sake of time, Hebrews 2, 1 through 8. Although humanity is the crown of God's creation, we sinned and broke our relationship with him in the very garden where he formed us. Yet even then, David foresaw that God would send one to redeem us and restore that broken relationship. Inspired, don't forget this, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the writer of Hebrews referenced Psalm 8 to affirm that Jesus is both fully God and fully man. And we need to go there at least. Can we go to Hebrews and say we went to Hebrews in a Hebrews study? Can we at least go there and touch it? Go to Hebrews 2. Let me just read a couple of passages and we'll finish with this. Hebrews 2, verse 9. When you're there, say amen. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom all are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified, that's us, are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Can you imagine that? Our God calling us his brother? Strange, as I even come out of my mouth, that we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Does that give anybody a little skin movement on the back of your neck? Like, this blows my mind to think God would think so much of his creation, of you and me, so much dignity that he would put on the human life. And that's why abortion is so wrong today, y'all. It's not a woman's right to choose to kill her baby. It's murder 101. If you've experienced that, listen, God can forgive you, but don't do it again. Stay out of the sin that causes that and go forth in Jesus' name. But don't stand up for a woman's right to choose. It's not your life you're choosing over. That's another life within your womb that God put there. God is pro-life. God is for life. And through his death, burial, and resurrection, finally, Jesus set us free and restored our right relationship with God the Father. His name is excellent. He is worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. Is that true from the Word of God? But let me just remind you before we take the Lord's Supper, his name's not being called excellent all over the world yet. There's people who curse his name. Is that true? Brothers and sisters, listen, we talked about it. I know your theology is a little different than mine. Some people's are. But what's he talking about then if his name should be called excellent around the world? Because right now around the world, his name is cursed unless it's a Christian breathing it. He's talking about in the future. He's talking about when King Jesus rules and reigns on this earth. His name shall be called excellent. It is now for us, but it will be for everyone who has to speak his name in the future. Isn't that a beautiful thing to think about? King Jesus is king indeed. Amen? Amen? Let me try it again. King Jesus is king indeed. Amen? Amen? He is or he's not in your life. And it's evidenced by the way that you live, by the way that you talk, and the way you conduct your life. Are you existing to bring glory to God? Yes or no? I pray that the answer is yes. Because at the bottom, you see at your bottom of your bulletin, look at the question. So you're looking. Somebody read the question. First question, what is it? Somebody read it. Do you know who God is? He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Do you know who you are? You're chief of his creation, made in his image. And finally, whose you are. All of us are creations of God, but not all of us are children of God. You're not a child of God until you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. That's why we have church every Sunday. We grow and we invite. We grow and we invite. Until you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you're just his creation, not his child, not his son, not his daughter. But listen, blessed ones, when you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, it is finished and we belong to him for all of eternity. Amen. What can take you from the hand of God? Paul says, I am assured, I am confident, nothing can take me out of the love and the hand of God. Nothing. Isn't that a beautiful thing to think about today? Makes you want to go with old Ric Flair. Woo! Doesn't it? I mean, if you ever watched Ric Flair back in the day. So let me pray for us today. Father God, we have this time of invitation to tell you that we love you. Father, most of us were sitting in a church very similar to this when we were younger or when we were older. And we felt the compulsion of the Holy Spirit pulling us to surrender our life to you. We heard truth, and we didn't fully understand it, but Lord, we felt this compulsion. We didn't know what it was to go make it known that something's happening, and I want to give my heart and life to Jesus Christ. Other people had it outside the church, but Lord, so many times you use this episode, this time in history, for people to make decisions for you. Lord, I pray today that you would help somebody in the name of Jesus to receive your son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior, to confess their sins and believe with all their heart that God raised you from the dead. And Lord, with that confession, they know and believe they can be saved. You're an awesome God. If there's Christians here today, and Lord, they've been living like they don't belong to you, I pray, Lord, you would convict them to the core, that you would burst their hearts with sorrow and conviction until they would turn to you and repent. Because you say, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, make us, help us to live holy as you're holy. Help us to learn how, and help us, Lord, to do it. We ask this in the strong and powerful name of Jesus, for his sake. Amen and amen.